God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Picking up the fifth word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he says, "I thirst." Now, I will admit, you may be thinking, this isn't probably one of the most profound words of our Lord and Savior, but you have to watch and be careful, because everything our Lord and Savior does is important. What is so important about him being thirsty? Well, first of all, you have to realize that Jesus is true God and true man. And as true man, he will get thirsty. And then there's also another reason. To fulfill what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 69, verse 21. For my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. To fulfill scripture, Christ says, "I thirst." Luther reminds us that as Christ is hanging on the cross, he cries out and says, "I thirst." It's interesting, as Luther picks up, then his crucifers do not give him a drink of water. He says, "In their great envy and hate, vexation and vengeance, they give him gall and vinegar. Wine mingled with myrrh to drink in his great thirst. They do not do this to the other criminals who were crucified on either side of him. It is the custom throughout the world to sympathize with criminals when they are being led out and executed. When their soul is troubled and their tongues become dry, they are given the best and most refreshing drink, as the wise man commands in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 6. In short, it is unheard of in this world that men should lose all compassion for any robber, murderer, and scoundrel, however evil he might have been. But they lost all compassion for Christ on the cross." And isn't it true even in our own society? Don't we have it in the back of our mind that if we are entertaining guests, do we not offer them a drink of water? Or if a prisoner is being executed, isn't there always that customary, the last meal? Not so with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, is given sour wine. Luther makes reference to something in the Proverbs. In case if you didn't know this proverb from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 6, "Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress." Alcohol was used as sort of a little bit of a sedative. And so if someone was in distress, you didn't want them to suffer even more, maybe to ease their suffering a little bit. The Proverbs would speak. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he was hanging on the cross, was he concerned about compassion? Yes. Was he concerned about getting a drink of water? Maybe not. He was concerned about fulfilling scripture. He was concerned to make sure that what he was going to do was going to be complete. And so if scripture says he's going to thirst, then he's going to thirst. If scripture says they're going to give him sour wine to drink, they're going to give him sour wine to drink. Why is this important? Well, what is Jesus trying to accomplish? What is Jesus really thirsting for? Jesus is really thirsting for us. He wants us to be with him in heaven above. And he's willing to die to achieve his quenching of his thirst. He's willing to die and suffer and drink sour wine so that you can be with him in heaven above. This is what our Savior is thirsting for. This is why he is driven to the cross. This is why he must fulfill all scripture. But Luther begs an interesting point in his quote, in that quotation. They weren't giving him the common courtesy. They were treating him as evil, not even wanting to give him a cup of water in time of need, but instead sour wine, vinegar. How many of you want to drink vinegar straight? Would our Lord and Savior do the same for them? Obviously, with his death on the cross, you have to realize he dies on the cross for the forgiveness of all sin, of all sinners. Jesus has already forgiven them. We already heard that word from the cross. But let's pick up for a moment the fourth petition and Martin Luther's explanation. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Let me pick up on all evil people. God blesses all people, regardless whether they're good or bad, whether they believe and trust in him or not. God blesses all people. And it almost seems that God blesses the unbelievers a little bit more than the believers, even though this isn't really true. It's just our perception. So God is indeed thirsting, desiring to bless all people, desiring all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. He is giving out his compassion. Even though we don't deserve it, he bestows it freely. Both spiritually and physically, he is compassionate. However, what is man's response to this unconditional compassion, this unconditional love? Typically, what happened to Jesus on the cross fits our response. If we consider how many blessings that God has blessed us with, how much in turn do we give out? Or how much do we just keep for ourselves? How compassionate are we with people who are in need? How compassionate are we with others? And then to beg the last question, the last point of this is, how compassionate are we with evil people? Too often in our back of our minds, we think of evil people and we start thinking, well, they get what they deserve. Let them suffer. It almost sounds like the people who were at the foot of the cross, who didn't give Jesus that good drink, but instead the sour drink. That's humanity's response. Our sinful nature kicks in and we label something evil and then we just don't want to have any compassion at all. However, our Lord and Savior is different. Even though we are sinners, and from God's point of view, that's as evil as you can get. One sin and you are corrupt. One sin and you are ruined. One sin, you don't deserve God's love and compassion. But our Savior came for sinners. He came to show compassion even upon those who don't return that compassion. Jesus thirsts for evil people. One of the things we need to realize as Jesus is suffering on the cross is he's doing it for you and for me. He's doing it for our friends and our neighbors. And he's doing it for even those people we don't like, even those people that we despise, even those people that in our heart of hearts we really don't want to see in heaven above. But Jesus wants them to be with him in heaven above. How can we get past the hardness of our own hearts? We go back to the compassion that Jesus has. Go back to the cross. And we have to ask ourselves, what hardens our hearts? Too often what hardens our hearts is that we may feel like we're getting the short end of the stick, that other people are blessed more. And so we go back to the cross today. We go back and see our Savior saying, I thirst. And we are reminded that, as the author of the Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Our Lord and Savior thirsted. He knows what it's like to be labeled as evil. He knows what it's like to get the short end of the stick or the cross. But yet he endures it because of you, because of evil people. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize, who experiences the same life difficulties that we all face in one form or another. We all have our cross to bear. He really bore his cross. He suffered and died. And it is comforting for us to understand that, yes, we do have a God who understands our suffering. We have a God who understands our temptation. We have a God who understands that we can't do it, so he must fulfill all scriptures, because we cannot. Left to our own human devices, like the people who mixed him that sour drink, we would want to repay evil with evil. This fifth saying from the cross teaches us that, yes, we have a Savior who is able to sympathize, one who is willing to give his life for sinners. We also realize that Jesus has two natures, as I alluded to at the introduction, two natures of Christ, true, fully man, and fully God. As he was fully man, he did suffer. He was in pain. He would have those thirst cravings. As true God, he did not sin. So he was able to fulfill the law perfectly for us. Now, in the midst of suffering, Jesus teaches us another important lesson, and a very difficult lesson we need to learn. Jesus here is suffering again for sinners, but now we have to realize, in the midst of our suffering, as Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 8 reminds us, we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to his purpose. So even in the midst of Christ's suffering, good was going to come out of it. Even in the midst of his thirsting and having compassion for evildoers, good was going to come out of it. Salvation for those evildoers like you and me. In the midst of our own suffering, in the midst of our own crosses that we have to bear, in the midst of our own thirsting, so to speak, cannot God work good? The answer is yes. We may not always see it, especially at the moment of our suffering. Could Jesus see his resurrection? Well, according to his divinity, he would know all things. He would know what yet is to come. But that would not take away the pain while he was still on the cross. That wouldn't take the pains of thirst away. He still thirsted. So in the midst of our own sufferings, can we not still trust in the Savior who thirsts? In the Savior who wants us to be with him in heaven above? And a Savior who is willing to suffer and die? Or do we give up on our Savior and think because life is going poorly for us, our Savior has forgotten us? It is comforting to know that Jesus experiences the same difficulties we do in similar form and fashion because of you. It is comforting to know that we have a God who does understand. He knows what it means to be thirsty, what it means to be hungry, what it means to undergo various forms of temptation. And he holds us tightly in his loving arms because he does understand. Because he does understand, he gives us grace. Because he understands, he fulfills our thirst. How does our Lord fulfill our thirst? How does he quench our life? We are reminded very quickly when it comes to thirst, we need water. Through holy water, or water connected with God's word, let me just say, Christ quenches our thirst, our spiritual thirst, by putting his name upon us through the waters of holy baptism. Our Savior quenches our thirst again, as he gives us his own blood to drink through this wine. Some people may comment, sour wine, but no, it's not really sour wine, not the way that Jesus had it. He quenches our thirst spiritually, and he promises daily bread in the Lord's Prayer physically. Yes, our Lord does take care of us. He does bless us. He does quench our thirst. While on the cross, Jesus was certainly physically thirsty and dehydrated. However, in a spiritual sense, Jesus' greatest thirst, his greatest desire, was to quench our thirst for righteousness. Jesus reminds us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And as Jesus says to the woman at the well, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up for eternal life. We may ask, what's the purpose of our Lord and Savior being thirsty? The hymn that we just got through singing sums it up very, very well. Let me just read those final stanzas of 13 through 15. Jesus, in your thirst and pain, while your wounds your lifeblood drain, thirsting more our love to gain, hear us, holy Jesus. Thirst for us in mercy still, all your holy work fulfill, satisfy your loving will, hear us, holy Jesus. May we thirst your love to know, lead us in our sin and woe, where the healing waters flow, hear us, holy Jesus. This hymn writer is directing us back to the one who fulfills our thirst, the one who satisfies our soul, the one who brings living waters within us, the one who our world had no compassion for. It leads us back to Christ. So in our lives, when things don't seem to be going well, and we are thirsting for something more because nothing seems to be satisfying, let us realize the things of this world don't satisfy. You want your thirst quenched, regardless what the Gatorade commercials may say, or the Sprite commercials, or any other beverage commercial, there is only one that will truly satisfy your thirst. The one who on Calvary's cross, himself who said, I thirst. And he said it for you. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.